Kufar of Makkah, on one occasion, they came to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam, and they asked a question. They said, "Hallana min al amri min shay. Hallana min al amri min shay. Can we, as human beings, influence affairs in any way? Does Amr decree belong to us in any way? Are we able to influence the situation or condition in any way? Hallana min al amri min shay." Immediately Jibreel alayhi salam is sent to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam with the verse of the Quran, "Qul, tell them, innal amra kullahu lillah." Every amr, every decree, every advancement, every decline, every benefit, every harm, every life, every death belongs to one Allah alone. Innal amra kullahu lillah. Every decree belongs to Allah. Inna rabbakum Allah alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal ard fi sittati ayyam thumma istawa 'ala al-'arsh yughshi al-layla an-nahar yatlubuhu hatitha wash-shamsa wal-qamara wan-nujuma musakhkharatin bi-amrihi ala lahu al-khalqu wal-amr fatabarakallahu rabbul 'alamin. Look at the manner in which Allah introduces himself. Allah calls out to humanity, "Perceive, look around you, recognize, inna rabbakum Allah, verily your Rabb is Allah." Who is Allah? Alladhi khalaqa as-samawati wal ard fi sittati ayyam. Allah created the heavens and the earth in six spaces of time. Then he rose upon his arsh. Yughshi al-layla an-nahar. Allah put in the system of day and night. Yatlubuhu hatitha, one following the other. Today the date is 30th of July. What time did the sun rise this morning? 5:51, 5:52. Last year, 30th of July, sunrise exactly the same time. 100 years ago, exactly the same time. 100 years from now, exactly the same time. This system, this precision, this order, this earth is not still. This earth is moving, spinning. Spinning on its own axis. Spinning at a speed of 1,000 kilometers an hour. That speed also set according to Allah's decree. If the speed had to go to 2,000 kilometers an hour, what will happen? Your day will be 12 hours. Your day will be 6 hours. Your night will be 6 hours. Barely you'll wake up. Barely you'll wake up. Start the day, it's already night time. Barely you'll try to sleep at night, it's already the next day. So for the comfort, afiat, ease of this insan, Allah set that speed at 1,000 kilometers an hour. If it had to drop to 500 kilometers an hour, what would happen? 24-hour day, 24-hour night. 24-hour day, what will happen? How long are you going to work? Light all the time, and then 24-hour night, you'll wonder when the night is going to end. It's a different matter. If you had a 24-hour day, the surface temperature of the earth would increase to such an extent that every living thing would be burnt to ashes. And if you had a 24-hour night, the surface temperature of the earth would decrease to such an extent that whatever remained because of the cold conditions would freeze and would die. قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ اللَّيْلَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِضِيَاءٍ قُلْ أَرَأَيْتُمْ إِنْ جَعَلَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْكُمُ النَّهَارَ سَرْمَدًا إِلَى يَوْمِ الْقِيَامَةِ مَنْ إِلَهٌ غَيْرُ اللَّهِ يَأْتِيكُمْ بِلَيْلٍ تَسْكُنُونَ فِيهِ أَفَلَا تُبْصِرُونَ وَمِنْ رَحْمَتِهِ جَعَلَ لَكُمُ اللَّيْلَ وَالنَّهَارَ لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فَضْلِهِ وَلَعَلَّكُمْ تَشْكُرُونَ. Look at the manner in which Quran calls out. Allah says, "Qul, tell them, O Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, ara'aytum." Use the aql, use the intelligence which we gave you. Consider, ponder, perceive, realize. If Allah caused it to remain night, if Allah commanded the sun not to rise, if Allah caused it to remain night from now till Qiyamah, which ilah, which qudrat, which science, which technology, which superpower is going to cause the sun to rise for you? If Allah caused it to remain day from now till Qiyamah, who is going to bring the night? Afala tubsirun, afala tasmaun. Allah says, why don't you see, why don't you listen? Wa min rahmatihi, it is His mercy. Ja'ala lakumul layla wan nahar, that He gave you day and night in correct, beautiful proportion. لِتَسْكُنُوا فِيهِ so that at night you can rest. وَلِتَبْتَغُوا مِنْ فِيهِ مِنْ فَضْلِهِ so that in the day you can seek the sustenance and risk of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. How many different ways Allah's favor, this earth? Just one example. How many places in the Quran Allah invites you? وَفِي الْأَرْضِ آيَاتٌ لِلْمُوقِنِينَ Allah says, in this earth are signs for you. Are signs for the people who will have yaqeen and conviction on Allah. وَالْأَرْضَ فَرَشْنَاهَا فَنِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ Allah says, we stretched this earth out. How beautifully we did it. فَنِعْمَ الْمَاهِدُونَ أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ مِهَادًا هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ قَرَارًا هُوَ الَّذِي جَعَلَ لَكُمُ الْأَرْضَ ذَلُولًا أَلَمْ نَجْعَلِ الْأَرْضَ كِفَاتًا أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا How many places in the Quran Allah is inviting you to ponder over this earth? This is one of the ayat, the signs of Allah. كِفَاتًا أَحْيَاءً وَأَمْوَاتًا The same earth, underneath it you are dead, above it the living. The same earth, what do you give it? What is your contribution to this earth? Filth. The only thing that insan contributes to this earth is filth. Whatever he gives off is put into this earth. This earth is used as a parda, is used as a covering screen for the filth and the trash of insan. And what does the earth give back in return? Beautiful crops, beautiful vegetation. When you want to go for a holiday, people go to Mauritius. Why? Why leave South Africa and come to Mauritius? Because of the beautiful scenery. Because of the beautiful beaches. You know, travel the earth. Look at the waterfalls. Look at the scenery. Look at the forests. Look at the jungles. Look at the snow-capped mountain peaks. Look at the streams that are cutting through the mountains. Bury your dead, bury in the same earth. Grow your crops and your plants, do it in the same earth. How many different ways? And then this earth, as we mentioned, is not still, it's spinning. 1,000 kilometers an hour. This earth is spinning. One place in the Quran, Allah says, "Alam najalil arda qarara." Did we not stabilize this earth for you? Mihada, did we not make it a cradle for you? Perhaps 14 centuries ago, they did not fully comprehend these expressions. That what do they mean? What is Allah referring to? First and foremost, you look up. You look up, you see a lizard walking on the roof. You think the lizard is upside down. This earth is around, your foot is on this earth, your head is in space. You are upside down. But you're looking at the lizard, you think the lizard is upside down. Yet Allah has put such a system in a place you don't even perceive it. This earth, one movement is spinning, 1,000 kilometers an hour. Second movement is moving outwards. 65,000 kilometers an hour. 65,000 kilometers an hour, this earth moves every day. There is a third movement. There is a third movement. This earth is tilting on its axis. 23 degrees 5 minutes this way, 23 degrees 5 minutes that way. If it were not for this third movement, you would not have your four seasons. You would not have your waxing and waning of the moon. You would not have the waves in the ocean. Your fruit and your vegetation would not ripen. And if it was not for this third movement, this tilting of the earth on its axis, you would not have the atmosphere which Allah has created. This wind. Allah has put such a system in this place. Allah has put such a system in this earth, in this environment. It is said the level of oxygen in the atmosphere, 21%. 6 to 7 billion human beings on the surface of this earth, all are breathing in all the time, breathing in, breathing out. They said the average human being on a daily basis breathes in and out 20,000 times. Plus minus. If you don't take my word for it, one day take a tasbih and count. 20,000 times in and out a person is breathing. What is he doing? He's breathing in what? He's breathing in oxygen. 8,000 liters of oxygen every day on average every human being is taking out of the atmosphere. 8,000 liters. Imagine if you had to pay for it. How much is one tank of oxygen? 8,000 liters each human being is taking out. What is he paying back? He takes in oxygen, which is pure. He gives back carbon dioxide, which is a poison. Takes something pure, returns back something that is impure. Carbon dioxide is a poison. If Allah had not caused this earth to do this third motion of tilting on its axis, there would be no wind, there would be no atmosphere. Each time you breathe it out, the carbon dioxide would have got stuck in front of you till eventually you kill yourself with your own breath. This third movement of the earth, when did Allah put into place? Millions and billions of years before this insan could even be created. Already the system was put into place to dispel this poison away from you in order to keep you alive for your subsistence and for your existence on this earth. How many ni'mats, how many bounties, how many favors? Not my intention to go into a biology or an astrology lesson. But this is what Quran is telling us. Allah is calling out how many places in the Quran. Thousands and thousands of verses of the Quran, Allah calls out to you. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. مثل نوره كمشكات فيها مصباح المصباح في زجاجة الزجاجة كأنها كوكب دري يوقد من شجرة مباركة زيتونة لا شرقية ولا غربية يكاد زيتها يضيء ولو لم تمسسه نار نور على نور نور على نور يهدي الله لنوره من يشاء. Allah is the Noor, Allah is the effulgence, Allah is the light of the heavens and the earth. Every creation of Allah is shining with the noor of Allah. Every creation of Allah is calling out to you, inviting you, recognize who is Allah. This wind is shining with Allah's noor. Every blade of grass is shining with Allah's noor. What we said, oxygen 21% in the atmosphere. 7 billion insan taking out 8,000 liters each one. Why is it stays at 21%? It should get less. 7 billion people each day are taking out 8,000 liters of oxygen from this atmosphere. It's still 21%. If it had to go, that figure 21% is not an accident. If the level of oxygen had to be 23%, it is said the number of accidental fires will increase 700 times. If it had to be 25%, besides the North Pole and the South Pole, everything in between would be burnt to ashes. Set at 21%, which is in keeping with the requirements for the respiratory system of this insan. The oxygen is being taken out. How is it being replaced? How is it being replaced? Allah has put the leaves of the trees into your service. That leaf is green. If you look, the sand is brown. The water has no color. The branch and the trunk of the tree, also brown. Yet the leaf becomes green. Why? It needs to be green to carry out the function and task Allah has created it for. One hand is the leaf. Inside that leaf, the veins of that leaf. In each leaf, there is a complex chemical laboratory that you will need the most advanced chemical equipment and the most advanced laboratory to try to replicate the function that is taking place in that simple leaf. What is it doing? It is reacting with the rays of light from the sun. It is said if the light of the sun is divided into 200 million parts, one part is reaching the earth. One particular frequency and wavelength of light cuts through the ozone layer. It strikes the leaf, a process of photosynthesis takes place, and that leaf produces oxygen to replace the oxygen that you have taken out of the atmosphere. So that the sun is working for you, the wind is working for you, the leaf is working for you. Countless of Allah's systems are working for you. This is what Allah is calling out. Allahu nuru samawati wal ard. Allah is the noor, the effulgence of the light of the heavens and the earth. Every blade of grass, every leaf, every grain of sand, every twinkling star, every ray of the sun, that little baby lying in its cradle for some inexplicable reason, all of a sudden that child smiles, its whole face lights up. In that smile also you can see the noor of Allah. Each one of these things are calling out to you, إِنَّ لِهَذَا الْخَلْقِ خَالِقِ إِنَّ لِهَذَا الْخَلْقِ خَالِقِ. There is a creator for this. It didn't just happen by chance. It didn't just come into existence like that. This precision, this conformity, this system, each thing is calling out to you, recognize who is your Allah. What is the tragedy? What is the tragedy? What is the travesty? My respected brothers and sisters, bring an eye. Bring an eye that did not look at the daughters of others. Bring an eye that has not spent its entire day looking at haram. Bring an ear that is not filled with listening to haram music. Bring a heart that is not blackened with the love and the pursuit and the hanker and the greed for this dunya. And wallah, by the qasam of my Allah, by the qasam of my Allah, you will see the noor of Allah. In every blade of grass, you will see the noor of Allah. When the rainwater falls, with its pitter patter as each droplet strikes the ground, you will hear La ilaha illallah. Today we cannot see this. We are walking around like dead corpses. Outwardly we are living. Outwardly we are living, we are looking, we are hearing, we are speaking, we are talking, we are comprehending. But what is our reality? Allah Ta'ala says, Lahum qulubun la yafqahuna biha. وَلَهُمْ آيُنٌ لَا يُبْصِرُونَ بِهَا وَلَهُمْ آذَانٌ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا إِنَّهَا لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. Allah says, they have hearts, they have minds, but they cannot comprehend. They have eyes, but they cannot see. Does not mean that they are blind, no. They have eyes, but they cannot see. Does not mean that they are blind. What does it mean? It means the reality of sight has been taken away from them. They have ears but they cannot listen. What are they listening to? Instead of listening to the greatness of Allah, instead of comprehending the signs of Allah, they are listening to haram and the disobedience of Allah. لَهُمْ آذَانُ لَا يَسْمَعُونَ بِهَا. Allah says, لَا تَعْمَ الْأَبْصَارِ. The eyes are not blind. The eyes are not blind. وَلَكِنْ تَعْمَ الْقُلُوبُ الَّتِي فِي الصُّدُورِ. The hearts have become blind. The hearts have become blind. These hearts. Days in Allah's disobedience, nights in Allah's disobedience, they have been blackened to such an extent that the noor of Allah's marifat, the noor of Allah's recognition is no longer permeating these hearts. You can go to the eye specialist. The eye specialist will use his instruments and he'll tell you. You know what, bhai, your eyesight a little bit weak. You have to get spectacles and glasses. Obviously, 3 strength or 4 strength or 5 strength, depending. He'll show you the chart. You can see the A or the B. You can see the letters or not. Accordingly, he'll use his instruments. He'll tell you. But there is no eye specialist that can use any instrument and tell you that, bhai, because of looking at haram and looking at the daughters of others and wholly looking at nakedness on those haram shaitan boxes, outwardly your eyesight is very good, but in the eyes of Allah you are worse than a blind man. There's no eye specialist that can tell you that. We got ENT in this Jamaat also. You can go to the ear specialist. He'll put his instrument inside, tell you too much of wax, or you need a flush, or this, or you need grommets, or there's this problem or that problem. But there is no ear specialist that can use any instrument to tell you that, by listening, you are listening to haram music so much. You are listening to ghibat and slander and backbiting so much that your ears have become blocked. These eyes are roads to the heart. The ear is a road to the heart. The mind is a road to the heart. Each one of these things have become blocked to such an extent that people may tell you, or the medical doctor will tell you, you have very good hearing, but in the eyes of Allah, you are worse than a deaf person. You can go to the cardiologist. He'll do an ECG, he'll do an angiogram. Arteries are clear. Or your arteries are blocked. You need a bypass surgery, or you can put a stent. Or we can do this surgery or this treatment for you. Cholesterol level is too high. Cardiologist can tell you that, but there is no heart specialist that can use any instrument to tell you that, by all your arteries are clogged and blocked with the love of dunya. The love and attachment of dunya has caused your heart to become blackened, so that the noor of Allah's marifat and recognition will not permeate such a heart. There is no heart doctor that can use any instrument to tell you that. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu is that Sahabi who used to spend so much time in the company of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was almost a household member. He would be so much in and out of the house of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that a stranger to Madinah Munawwara observing the movements of Abdullah bin Mas'ud would think to himself that this person is from the Ahl Bayt, from the relatives of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. That much sohbat he had of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Sahabi was such, he was nahiful jism, very very thin. One day he was walking, the wind blew, his lungi lifted up, the thin shins like pegs of Abdullah bin Mas'ud became visible. So one or two sahaba who saw this smirked, they smiled, found it amusing. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa looked at them and said, "Ata'ajabuna min diqqatin alay?" Are you people finding the thinness of the shins of Abdullah bin Mas'ud amusing? وَالَّذِي نَفْسُ مُحَمَّدٍ بِيَدِهِ إِنَّهُمَا لَأَثْقَلْ فِي الْمِيزَانِ مِنْ جَبَلِ أُحْدٍ. By the qasam of that being in whose hands lies the life of Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these two shins of Abdullah bin Mas'ud are weightier on the scale of deeds than the mountain of Uhud. What was it? What was inside? What was inside was valuable in the sight of Allah. Inna Allah la yanduru ila suwarikum wa la ila amwalikum wa la ki yanduru ila qulubikum wa amalikum. Our value will not be judged in Allah's court by what is apparent and what is outside. How wealthy you are, whether you're wearing a Hugo Boss suit, or whether you're driving a Mercedes Benz or a BMW, or whether your bank balance has 6 or 7 or 8 or 9 zeros in it, or whether you've got an investment portfolio that the next 5 generations can't finish also. Wallah, by the qasam of my Allah, in Allah's court, this will count for nothing. La yanduru ila suwarikum wa la ila amwalikum. Allah will not even look at your appearance and your wealth. What will Allah look at? Qulubikum wa amalikum. Qulubikum wa amalikum. The currency of akhirat. La dirham wa la mataa is not dirhams, not rands and dollars and rupees. And is not the currency of this world and the material wealth of this world. The currency of akhirat is amal. Is amal, is yaqeen, is this heart, is the level of iman. Walaki yanduru ila qulubikum wa amalikum. Allah will judge you according to your heart and your amal. Abdullah bin Mas'ud, coming back to what he said, this was that sahabi who had that much sohbat to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He gave this ummat a thermometer. The ear specialist and the nose specialist and the eye specialist and the heart specialist, they don't have the machinery or the technology to tell you these things. But we were given a thermometer. We were given a yardstick. We were given a measuring tape. Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala said, Utlub qalbaka inda thalathati mawatin. He said, search your heart. Search your heart on 3 occasions. Inda sima'i al-Quran, when Quran is read, search this heart. Where is this heart going? Just now Ramadan finished. We know what happened. For many of us, Ramadan to some extent, there is some munasabat or link with the Quran. The moment the hilal of Eid is sighted, the Quran goes on the shelf for the next 11 months. Then obviously, we move into a new house, then we read a little bit Quran. Someone dies, we read a little bit Quran. Or we think someone who has got jadu or jinn asar, read a little bit Quran. The other day, someone sent me a message, a person was traveling on a train. One person started reading Quran, so the person next to him was very surprised. He said, has someone died? Amata, someone died? He said, yes, matat qulubuk, your heart has died. Because like crops and plants and vegetation, if they will not be watered, if they will not receive water, they will shrivel and die. By the qasam of my Allah, if this heart will not receive the water of the Quran, this heart will be a dead heart. This heart cannot survive. This heart cannot be illumined, cannot live, cannot thrive, unless it receives the water of the Quran. This is the ummat of the Quran. This is that ummah that has to link and attach itself to the Quran. من جعله أمامه ساقه إلى الجنة ومن جعله خلفه ساقه إلى النار. My Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, if my ummah will keep this Quran in front of them, this Quran will take them to Jannah. And if my ummah will turn their backs on this Quran, the same Quran will take them to Jahannam. إن الله يرفع بهذا الكتاب أقواما ويلع به آخرين. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Allah will use this Quran to raise people, and Allah will use the same Quran to bring people down also. يضل به كثيرا ويهدي به كثيرا. He said, search your heart. Search your heart when Quran is read. What is happening? Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Salih Muzani Rahimullah, saw Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam in a dream. In that dream, Salih Muzani is reading Quran in front of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam looks at him and says, Ya Salih, hadhihi al-qira'a, fa'ina al-buka. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to him, O Salih, you are reading Quran, but your eyes are dry. You are reading Quran, but your eyes are dry. Where are the tears? إنما المؤمنون إذا ذكر الله وجلت قلوبهم وإذا تليت عليهم آياته زادتهم إيمانا وهم على ربهم يتوكلون. This is what إنما is. علماء say is كلمة الحصر. Like in Urdu we say صرف or صرف. صرف or صرف. إنما only and only. Total complete exclusivity, close select club, membership only, like sometimes we see some places. Innama, only and only, al-mu'minun, who are the mu'mineen, who are the people of iman? Alladheena idha dhukir Allah wajilat qulubuhum, when Allah's name is taken, their heart tremors. When Allah's name is taken, their heart tremors. وَإِذَا تُلِيَتْ عَلَيْهِمْ آيَاتُهُ زَادَتْهُمْ إِيمَانًا. And when Quran is read, the iman increases. أُطْلُبْ قَلْبَكَ إِنَّ ثَلَاثَةِ مَوَاتٍ. He said, search your hearts on three occasions. عِنَّ سِمَاءِ الْقُرْآنِ. When Quran is read, where is this heart going? Are you looking for the door? Are you looking to run away? Or does your heart lean towards this Quran? وَفِي مَجَالِثِ الذِّكْرِ. He said, search your hearts. Search your hearts in the gatherings of Allah's remembrance. We would have heard the ilan just now by after the remaining salah. Important gathering will take place, the gathering of Allah's zikr. إِذَا مَرَرْتُمْ بِرِيَادِ الْجَنَّةِ فَارْتَعُوا. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, when you pass by the gardens of Jannat on this earth, when you pass by the gardens of Jannat on this earth, then graze in those gardens. Don't run away from those gardens. Attach yourself with those gardens. Where is the time of the ummah attached today? Where is the heart of the ummah attached today? Clubs, frivolous activities, vain amusements. 22 people chasing behind a piece of pigskin. Hours and hours we're ready to watch. Where is the heart of this ummah going? What excites us? What makes us happy? What did my Rasul sallallahu alaihi wasallam say? Inna shahwati fi qiyam al-layl. He used to say, Allah has kept my lazzat, my ecstasy in tahajjud salah. Where is the ecstasy today? Where is the excitement today? Where is the happiness? Where does this heart lean? Hours and hours cried tears of blood in front of those instruments of nakedness and haram till 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock, 3 o'clock in the morning. The youth of this ummah. Not only the youth, the elderly of this ummah. What is happening? What is happening inside? What is happening to the heart? Is that concern not there? Eat something wrong, your stomach troubles. Eat something wrong, your stomach troubles. Utilize something incorrectly, immediately you see the incorrect effect. One-way street, drive your car in the opposite direction, what happens? We understand actions have repercussions. What we expose this heart to is not going to have a repercussion. The environment we attach ourselves to is not going to affect us. My Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Al-ghina yumbitu al-nifaqa fil-qalb kama yumbitu al-ma'u al-zara. He said, like water will cause crops to grow, listening to the haram music of this world will cause nifaq and hypocrisy to grow in this heart. This is why Allah say, Jo Qom, that nation, Jo Behayai ke Adi ho chuki, that have become habitual of shamelessness. This boyfriend, girlfriend culture, this culture of intermingling. Like we find in our schools, in our universities, in our so-called educational institutes. This intermingling is a poison. This is a poison that is destroying this ummah to such an extent that even after nikah, the door to zina is not closing. Then we want to know why earthquakes are happening and why tsunamis are happening and why these cyclones are happening and why this is happening and why that is happening. Scientists will tell you. They tell you the plate of the earth, there was friction with another plate. Or in this level of the earth, this happened. Or in the axis of the earth, this calculation occurred, and according to the Richter scale, it was a 7 or 8 or a 9. Scientists can tell you what happens. Scientists cannot tell you why it happens. For that, we need that ulum that came from the Arsh of Allah. Through the agency of Janabi Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, our mother, Aisha Ummul Mumineen radiallahu ta'ala anha, she was asked on one occasion, that, O mother of the Ummah, tell us, when will earthquakes happen? When will earthquakes happen? She said, when zina takes place as if it is halal. When zina becomes so excessive as if it is halal. Stand outside the masjid and listen to the conversation that's taking place. That pop star, that music personality, this one, that one, he's going with that one and that one is going with another one. As if that culture of behayai and shamelessness, the hatred and the dislike of it has come out of the hearts of the woman. She said when zina will take place as if it is halal, when musical instruments will become aam, Then wait for the whip of Allah to strike. That nation which is adi, which is habitual of behayai and shamelessness, the so-called sweet poison, so-called ecstasy and enjoyment of looking at haram and immersing oneself in haram, has clogged the blood vessels of this ummah. Ulama say, jo qom behayai ke aadi ho chuki, unko marne ke liye atom bomb ke koi zarurat nahi. Wo pehle hi se mare hue. If you want to destroy them, you don't need an atom bomb or science or technology or a superior military force. No. They are already dead. What effect will there be in their salah? What effect will there be when they raise their hands? This is that ummah, Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, Rubba ash'atha akhbar, lo aqsama ala Allahi la darrahu. He said, there are many people in my ummah, they will have disheveled hair, their bodies will be full of dust, the whole world will look down upon them. They will have no status, no position, no recognition in society. But in eyes of Allah, their ta'aluk with Allah will be such, lo aqsama ala Allahi la darrahu. If they take a qasam on Allah, Allah will fulfill the qasam. Outwardly, the whole world will look down on them. But what is inside? Recently, there was a Jamaat from Palestine, South Africa. Sheikh Ayaz was one of the Zimedars of Palestine. We were having tea somewhere, so he told me one incident that occurred. He says one prominent lawyer, Muslim lawyer, but on the Israeli side, Arab living on the Israeli side, Muslim also. He says one day he came to me, says, Sheikh Ayaz, tell me how can my ta'aluk with Allah be made like that, he said, like that. So he said, I realized that he's obviously referring to something. That something is motivating this question. He's not just asking a question out of the blue. So he said, I asked him, tell me, what is the background behind your question? So he said, I was representing one Palestinian youngster. He had already been found guilty. The minimum prescribed sentence for the crime that he had been found guilty for was 15 years minimum. Sentence was going to be passed, and the Jewish judge who had been appointed for this particular case, his harshness and his hatred towards the Arabs was well known. His harsh temperament was well known, so I feared the worst because minimum was 15 years. He says, the night before sentence could be passed, the mother of this youngster came to me. Obviously discussing, tomorrow my sentence for my son is going to be passed. So he said, in my mind, I knew the temperament of this judge. I expected the worst, so I tried to mentally prepare this mother that don't get your hopes up. He's already found guilty, so it's anywhere from 15 years. She looked at me and she said that, listen, the sentence will be 3 years. The sentence will be 3 years. He says, I thought to myself, this woman had lost her marbles. That's not possible. It's not going to happen. He said, the judge's harsh temperament was well known. The next day, the judge walked into the court. Instead, first time ever. There are many other cases that worked with this particular judge. He made shalom, greeted everybody. That was the first strange thing they found. When the sentencing time came, he passed sentence 3 years. 2 years had already been served, one more year and this youngster will be free. He says, after the sentencing, I went to the judge. And I said, what you did today doesn't make any sense. It goes completely against your nature. What happened? So this judge said, last night when I was preparing my court papers for today, I wrote down 23 years. I went to sleep, all of a sudden in my dream, I saw an apparition. They told me, get up and change that sentence to 3 years. So he said, I ignored it and I carried on sleeping. A little while later, this apparition came and caught my throat and said, if you don't get up and change that sentence, you will not survive the night. Fearing for my life, he says, I got up, I scratched off the two and I left the three. So he's asking Sheikh Ayaz, tell me, how can my taluk with Allah become like that? Disabled hair, society may look down upon them, but if they take an oath on Allah, Allah will fulfill that oath. Wasila bin Asqa radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, in the first battle of Sham, of Syria, Khalifa at that time was Abu Bakr Siddiq radiallahu ta'ala anhu. The Amir of this Jamaat, Amr bin As radiallahu ta'ala anhu, 8,000 Sahaba. The enemy 100,000. 8,000 against 100,000. Sahaba themselves say, Kunna kan nuktatil bayda fi jildi thawril aswad. We were like one strand of white hair on the body of a black ox. A sea of humanity against us. And in the warfare that used to take place in those days, when an army gets surrounded, then their destruction is imminent. There's no getaway. Inadvertently, this army got surrounded. And he says, we were almost balagatil qulubul hanajir. The soul had already reached the hulqum. We were almost seeing our janazas being lifted up. The analogy Sahaba Ikram give is, they say that was the first time that even sher, shairi and poetry also they forgot. Because this was common in those days. In those days, in the height of the battle, with mort in front of them, they would recite poetry. Ja'far bin Abi Talib radiallahu ta'ala anhu in Mota, Ya habbadha al-jannati wa iqtirabuha, tayyibatun wa baridatun sharabuha, wal rumu rumu qaddana azabuha, alayya illa qaituha zirabuha. Abdullah bin Rawaha radiallahu ta'ala anhu, aqsamtu ya nafs, latanzilinnah, aw latutali'annah, in ajlab an-nasa wa shaddu ar-rannah, ma li araki takrahin al-jannah, hal anti illa nutfatun fi shanna. Umay bin Humam radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in Badr, rakdan ilallahi bighayri zadi, إلا التقى وعمل المعادي والصبر في الله على الجهاد وكل زاد عرضة النفاد غير التقى والبر والرشاد. How many different examples in the face of aggression, in the face of mark in front of them, they would recite poetry. Yet Wasila bin Askar radiallahu anhu says, this occasion, such was the danger, such was the peril, that everyone was silent. Ma kana shi'aruna, all we did was we looked to the heavens and we said, Ya Rabba Muhammad, unsur ummata Muhammad. Ya Rabba Muhammad, unsur ummata Muhammad. Oh, the Rabba Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, help the ummata Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Millions today are making dua. Millions are asking. There is no, wallah, by the qasam of my Allah, there is no deficiency in his listening. There is no deficiency in his listening. The problem is with those that are asking. Once Musa alayhi salam passed by a person. This person was crying and sobbing and begging. Musa alayhi salam was kalimullah. He had that taluk and relationship with Allah. That he used to take those licenses that others would not take. So he says to Allah that, Ya Allah, if someone had to humble themselves and beg from me like how this man is begging from you, I would definitely have granted him whatever he's asking. So Allah Ta'ala sends wahi to Musa alayhi salam, speaks directly to him. Musa was kalimullah. Then, oh Musa, he's asking from me. وَإِنَّهُ غَنَمٌ وَقَلْبُهُ فِي غَنَمِهِ. But he has a few sheep, and the qibla of his heart is his sheep. His heart is immersed in his dunya and he's asking from me. Like Hassan Basri rahimahullah used to say, إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ إِذَا قُمْتَ إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ فَقُمْ قَانِتًا وَقُمْ كَمَا أَمَرَكَ اللَّهِ إِيَّاكَ بِالسَّهْوِ وَالْإِلْتِفَاتِ إِيَّاكَ أَنْ يَنْذُرَ اللَّهِ إِلَيْكَ وَتَنْذُرَ إِلَىٰ غَيْرِهِ تَسَلُونَ اللَّهَ الْجَنَّةِ وَتَعَوَّذُونَ بِهِ مِنَ النَّارِ وَقَلْبُكَ سَاهِنْ لَا تَدْرِي مَا تَقُولُ بِلِسَانِكَ. He said, when you stand in salah, when you stand in salah, then stand obediently. Stand with consciousness of where you are standing. Who's court? Who's darbar? Realize where you are. Stand as Allah has commanded you and beware. Beware of sahwi wal iltifat, of your heart not being attentive in that salah. Iyaka an yandhur Allah ilayk. Beware that Allah is looking at you and you are looking elsewhere. Allah is looking at you and your heart is elsewhere. You cannot hide from Allah. Alimun bidhati sudur, Allamul ghuyub, Alimul ghaybi wa shahada. Every whisper of the heart Allah is hearing. Ya'lamu khainat al-ayun wa ma tukhfi sudur. What is Quran? Allah, this is Quran and Quran is haq. Allah says, each time your eye strays, we know about. وَمَا تُخْفِ السُّدُورِ, what your heart conceals, we know. لِلَّهِ مَا فِي السَّمَاوَاتِ وَالْأَرْضِ وَإِنْ تُبْدُوا مَا فِي أَنفُسِكُمْ أَوْ تُخْفُوهُ يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. Allah says, reveal what is in your heart or conceal it. It is equal for Allah. يُحَاسِبْكُمْ بِهِ اللَّهِ. The day of hisab is coming. Even what you conceal will be revealed. Even what you conceal will be revealed. One tabi'i is taken captive by the Roman king. They understood that it was not numbers, it was not military, it was not technological or scientific know-how, or it was not battle strategy that was giving these people victory over them. It was their taluk with Allah. They had come onto that which Allah and His Rasul wanted. So this Tabi Habib bin Umair, he's locked up by the Roman king in a cell. pork is put there, sharab is put there, and a beautiful young Roman princess naked is put with him in the sun. Other food is cut off, alone in solitude. Imagine Roman princess, an Arab youngster. This is like what? This is like petrol and fire together. 3 days and three nights pass, and this woman tries everything possible. Yet, forget committing haram. Forget going close to haram. He doesn't even look at her. Finally, she could not take it. She had tried everything. 3 days and three nights had passed. Finally, out of exasperation, she says to him, "What is the matter with you? What is the matter with you? Why don't you look at me?" Then he spoke. And he said, "There is one Zat and one being. Al-Ghaybu indahu shahada. Was-sirru indahu alaniya. La ta'khudhuhu sinatun wala nawm." There is one Zat and one being. The hidden is known to him. The ghaib is apparent to him. The secrets are unknown to him. He does not sleep, he does not doze off. "Oh woman, it is the fear of my Allah that is not allowing me to look at you." Finally, when she goes back to the king, she says, "Ayyuha al-malik ila man arsaltani ila hajarin or hadidin la yakul wa la yanzur." She said, "Oh king, to whom did you send me? To a piece of stone? To a piece of steel? He doesn't look, he doesn't eat also." That type of consciousness, that ta'alluq with Allah, that the secrets are known, nothing will be concealed, the day is coming. La takhfa minkum khafiya. Allah says there's no question of hiding on that day. Ain al mafar, where are you going to run also? There's no question of opposing on that day. Coming back to Hasan Basri rahimahullah, he says, "Beware, Allah is looking at you, you are looking elsewhere." And then, Allahu Akbar, what does he say? "Tas'aluna Allah al-jannah wa ta'awwadhuna bihi min an-nar." You are making such a salah today, that in that salah, you are asking Allah for jannah. You are asking Allah for jannah. You're not asking Allah for $1 million, or £1 million, or £10 million, or $10 million. You're not asking Allah that I want to become the Prime Minister of Mauritius, or I want to become the ruler of the whole of Africa, or America, or Australia, or China. That is small, that is paltry. That is not equal to the wing of a mosquito. What are you asking Allah for? You're asking Allah for Jannah, which no price tag can be put on. You're asking Allah for protection from Jahannam. "Inna alladhina kafaru bi ayatina sawfa nuslihim nara kullama nadijat junuduhum baddalnahum junudan ghayraha liyadhuqul adhab." Such a Jahannam. "Verily those who will belie our sign, soon we will enter them into a blazing fire." Each time, every time one layer of skin gets burnt, we will replace it with another layer. This scientific or medical knowledge that the largest organ in the body is the skin, 3 million pores. And the nerves, the sensory, the nerve senses that perceive pain are located only in the skin. This is about 1 or 1.5 centuries old, this knowledge. Remove the skin and no matter what you do, a person will not feel any pain. 14 centuries ago in the Quran that was revealed upon Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, what does Allah say specifically? "Kullama nadijat junuduhum." Every time their skin gets burned, we will replace it with another skin so that they can feel the pain. Liyadhuqul adhab. Allah protect us. Jahannam is reality. Jannat is reality. That is why Rasulullah said, "Utlubul jannata juhdakum, wahrabu minan nari juhdakum." He said, "Seek jannat with everything you have. Run from Jahannam with everything that you have." 1,000 verses in the Quran. 1,000 verses in the Quran. Jannat, Jahannam, Jannat, Jahannam, Jannat, Jahannam. And today, not in our social circles, not in our homes, not in our societies, is even the muzakara of Jannat and Jahannam taking place. Yet 1,000 verses in the Quran, Allah has devoted to Jannat and Jahannam. So what does Hassan Basri say? You are asking Allah for Jannat. You are asking Allah to protect you from Jahannam. And yet your heart is somewhere else. Qalbuka sahin. Your heart is totally inattentive. Like someone gave an example one day. The Imam Sahib in Asr, after 3 rakats he made salam. Only one person said, "Imam Sahib, you only made 3 rakats today." Imam Sahib said, at least one person was paying attention in his salam. He says, "No, it wasn't that. I got 4 shops, I make hisab of each shop in each rakat. Today I only finished 3. Yati ala nasi zamanun yusallun wa la yusallun. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, a time will come upon my ummah, they will be making physical salah, but it will not be salah. Yushiku an tadkhul al masjid al jami'a fala yara rajulan khashia. He said, you will enter jami' masjid, thousands of musallis, not one person will have khushu in his salah. Why? Because the inside is not made. What does Hasan Basri Rahimullah say? You are asking Allah for Jannat, you are seeking Allah's protection from Jahannam. More important than that, what can there be? And yet qalbuka sahin, your heart is somewhere else. Your heart doesn't even know what your tongue is saying. La tadri ma taqulu bilisanik. ولا يقبل الله من عبد عملا حتى يشهد ببدنه مع قلبه او كما قال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم قلبه مع بدنه. First condition, Nabi صلى الله عليه وسلم said, Allah will never accept any amal until your heart is not present with your body. Until mentally you are not present, that amal will not be accepted. Salah is not an exercise, not up, down, kiss the ground and turn around, no. Salah is the spiritual transportation of every person to the Arsh of Allah. What happened physically in Mi'raj, spiritually occurs in every Salah. So Musa alayhi salam says to Allah, "Ya Allah, if someone had humbled himself like this before me, then definitely I would have responded, I would have accepted whatever he is asking." Allah Ta'ala says to him, "Oh Musa, he is asking from me, but he has some sheep. وَقَلْبُهُ فِي غَنَمِهِ. His heart is in his sheep. The heart is in the dunya. Wallah by the qasam of my Allah, there is no shortage in his listening. The shortage is in the asking. There is no kami in his listening. The shortage is in those that are asking, what is the condition of this heart? What is the ta'alluq with Allah? What is the relationship of this heart with Allah?" Abdullah bin Umar radiallahu ta'ala anhu says, "All we did, Ya Rabba Muhammad, unsur ummat Muhammad, or the Rabbu Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, help the ummat Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam." He said, all of a sudden, we observed that the sky split open. Horsemen started coming down. They had amamas on their forehead. They were riding white horses. He says, we never saw a makhluk like this before. As they descended and descended till the hooves of their horses were just above their heads, all of a sudden they disappeared. And then within a short while, with no explanation whatsoever, this army of 100,000 that were opposing us started running for their lives. This was when this ta'alluq of this ummah with Allah was there. This is why our elders are saying that nation which has become habitual with behayai and shamelessness, you don't need weaponry to destroy them. You don't need technology to destroy them. They are already dead. They are already dead. They will not be effect in their dua. They will not be effect in their amal. Unless ulama say, Allah protect us. Ulama say, if the gaze is free, if the gaze is awara, if the gaze is shameless, 1,000 awliya will not be able to guide that person. And if the gaze is corrected, 1,000 shayateen will not be able to deviate that person. Like wudu is a condition for salah, for devotion in that salah, controlling of the gaze is a condition. To lower this gaze with the consciousness of Allah, that Allah is looking at me. Allah, the day is coming. One woman, she was sitting in front of the mirror. Naturally, Allah had given her great beauty. Very, very beautiful woman. So she's looking at the mirror and she's preening, looking from this direction, that direction. And then she passes a remark to her husband. What remark? She says, do you think it is even possible that if I decide to entice a man that he will be able to resist me? Is there anyone that will be able to resist me? So husband, without hesitation, he says, yes, there is. So she's surprised. She says, who are you talking about? Immediately he mentioned the name of the tabi'i, Ubayd bin Humayr radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Ubayd bin Humayr. He said, Ubayd bin Humayr will be able to resist you. So she said to her husband, do you give me permission to try to entice him? So he said, yes, I give you permission. Ubayd bin Humayr used to give ta'lim in the haram of Makkah. This woman, obviously, those days women used to cover themselves. There was no question of bepardagi. So with parda, she approached him as if she wanted to ask fatwa. And in that, gradually in asking whatever question, she moved and moved and moved till she came into a quiet corner of the haram, and then she removed the veil from in front of her face. And she says, Allah has put the desire and the love of you in my heart. And I want to you to fulfill my desire. Having beautified herself to the maximum, without hesitation, he said, I am prepared to give in to the dictates of your request after you answer a few questions of mine. So she said, what are your questions? He said, أرأيت لو أن ملك الموت أتاك ليقبض روحك أكان يسرك أني قضيت لك هذه الحاجة. He says, today you have invited me towards something. I give in to your invitation. Few moments of ecstasy or so-called enjoyment that will pass. And eventually that day will come. That day will come that the angel of death will present itself in front of you. To take out this ruh and the soul. When the angel of death is in front of you, and that qabr, the manzar and scene is in front of you, and akhirat is in front of you, at that time, do you think it is in your interest that I should give in to what you are inviting me today? She says, no. Then he goes on to her. He goes on and he says, أنتي أدخلتي في قبرك وأجلستي للمسالة أكان يسرك أني قضيت لك هذه الحاجة. That 2 foot by 4 foot, 4 foot hole in the ground. This is why Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, visit the Qabristan, visit the graveyard. He said, you are put in that hole, the sand is thrown, your family, relatives, anis have left you. Then you are made to sit up and fatan al-qabr, the test of the qabr comes. Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, malakan aswadan azraqan. Aswatuhuma kal barq al khatif. He said, two angels whose appearance will be completely black, aswadan. Their eyes will be piercing blue. Yambitan al ard bi anyabihima. They will cut open the earth with their fingers. They will have a hammer in their hands. Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if the whole of humanity got together to lift this hammer, they will not be able to lift it because of its weight. Yet these angels will lift it like how I lift a stick. Their voices will be like thunder. Bolts of lightning will be coming out of their eyes. He says, you are made to sit up and these angels come in front of you to ask you the questions of the grave. That day, do you think it is in your interest when faced with these questions that I should give in to what you are inviting me today? She says, no. And then like this, I'm cutting the incident short, time is going. 4 or 5 stages presenting in front of Allah, the scale of Mizan, crossing the Sirat. Each time he asked her, does it please you that today I give in to what you are asking me to do? That day, do you think it will be in your interest? Finally, like I said, to cut the incident short, a husband used to commiserate with himself, Mali wali ubayd ibn umayr, why did I give in to what my wife said? Before this I had a wife, kanat zawjatan fasayraha rahibatan, now she has become a monk, a priestess. Her nights are only spent in ibadat, her days are only spent in fasting. The khawf and consciousness of akhirat had come. Such was the consciousness and the ta'alluq with Allah, the conviction of akhirah. This is that effort which Rasulullah ﷺ made, that he turned the qibla and the direction of the hearts of sahaba ikram towards akhirah, towards the shock of Jannah, the khawf of Jahannam. This used to occur in every home in Madina Munawwara, in the alleys and the gullies and the streets of Madina Munawwara. This was the amal of Masjid al-Nabawi, the amal of what ulama says, zihn sazi, the conditioning of the minds of the ummah to turn it towards akhirah. One incident very beautifully illustrates this, will not take very much more time. One occasion, the Ansar of Medina got together. They were farmers by trade, agriculture. When Hijrat took place, Allah's Rasul Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam established what we call Muakhat, brotherhood of Islam, not brotherhood of blood relation, but brotherhood of Islam. Total strangers had come from Makkah Mukarramah, but they had given up their homes, their livelihood, they had given up everything for the sake of the dawat and mission and worry of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, for the sake of iman to spread to the four corners of the world. The Sahaba of Makkah had made the ultimate sacrifice. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, nowadays then we look at a frame of the Kaaba and how much of love enters the heart, that this heart that is soiled with the love of dunya, still the love of Kaabatullah is there. Still the desire of Kaabatullah is there. What must have been the love and attachment in the heart of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? What it must have been for him to give up Makkah. Then as he is leaving Makkah, ya Makkatu, ma atyabaki min baladin wa ahabbaki ilayya, lawla anna qawmi akhrajuni minki lama sakantu ghayraki. He says, oh Makkah, what a pure, what a blessed, what a beautiful, what a sacred place you are. And how beloved you are in my heart. If my nation had not expelled me from you, I would never have left you. Tears pouring down the cheeks. Bilal, who lived as a slave in Makkah radiallahu ta'ala anhu, his love for Makkah was such that in Medina he would say, ya alayta sha'ri هل أبيتن ليلة بواد وحولي إذخر وجليل وهل أردن يوما مياها مجنة وهل يبدون لي شامة وتفيل. He lived as a slave in Makkah, yet in Medina his heart used to aspire for Makkah, and he would say, if only I could spend one more night in Makkah. And there would be the Idhkar and Zafir leaves around me. And I would drink water from the Mijanna and Shama springs. If only someone told me, Bilal, once again you will go back to Makkah. If that was Bilal's attachment, what must have been the attachment of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam? How hard it must have been for him to leave, but each thing was done, was placed on the altar of sacrifice for the sake of the hidayat of this ummah. Tears pouring down his cheeks, he's saying this as he's leaving Makkah. This reaches the Arsh of Allah. Jibreel is dispatched with the verse of the Quran. Inna alladhi farada alayka al-Quran la radduka ila ma'ad. O my Nabi, that Allah that ordained the Quran upon you will bring you back to Makkah. Allah will bring you back. La radduka ila ma'ad. Such was the attachment. Muhajirin of Makkah gave up everything. When they came to Medina, they were penniless. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi established brotherhood of Islam. So the Ansar of Medina, before he was looking after maybe one or two wives, three or four children, his financial burden was multiplied 10 times. They had to look after the Muhajirin from Makkah. They had to look after the wufud and delegations that were coming to Medina Munawwara to accept Islam. So the financial burden on one Ansari of Medina multiplied 10 times. If he was feeding one mouth, he had to now feed 10 mouths. What logically should have been the requirement of that? That they should have been given more chance to look after their fields. They should have been given more opportunity to tend to their agriculture. Yet they were sent so often out in the path of Allah that no time was given to earn dunya. Tartib of Islam is not according to our logic. Tartib of drawing Allah's help is not according to our logic. Such taqaza was placed on Ansar that in the 10-year period of Medina Munawwara, 150 delegations were sent out in the path of Allah. So what happened? The Ansar of Medina formed a delegation. Initially was the period of difficulty. Then Islam started spreading. So they said, they thought to themselves, that never mind, now we are not needed so much to our fields and our livelihood that were neglected for such a long time. Let us start giving some attention to that and lessen our time in the path of Allah. Lessen our time, in other words, in the effort of hidayat, and devote ourselves to our dunya a little bit more. But they were not like you and I. They were not like you and I. Somebody's tashkil is made for 4 months. He said, let's make mashwara. Why he wants to make mashwara? Because he thinks I'll be able to convince the mashwara I shouldn't be going for 4 months. They were not like that. This decision, which was logical, we are no more needed so much. Let us attend to our fields that have been neglected. They said, let us make mashwara with Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam first. They had just formed this delegation. They didn't even reach Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, already Jibreel had come. وَأَنْفِقُوا فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ وَلَا تُلْقُوا بِأَيْدِيكُمْ إِلَى التَّهْلُكَةِ. Allah says, spend in the way of Allah and do not become the architects of your own destruction. Do not become the architects of your own destruction. In other words, this decision to reduce the qurbani and sacrifice and commitment to deen, Quran interpreted it as becoming the architects of your own destruction. When they heard this verse, they didn't even ask, they came back quietly. Then they said, okay, never mind, let's carry on with whatever qurban we are giving. But let us go to Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam to ask him to make dua that the direction of the streams and the wells around Medina is directed such a way that the water comes towards our field. We don't have to arduously fetch the water and bring it. This much we can ask. We'll carry on striving, but this will be made easy for us. So this decision they formed, and they formed a delegation. And with this they come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. When Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam sees the Ansar, his face lights up. Marhaba, marhaba, marhaban bil Ansar. Welcome to my Ansar, the helpers of my deen. Marhaban bil Ansar, marhaban bil Ansar. And such is his happiness, such is his joy at seeing them. The Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam says to them, today ask whatever you want, Allah will grant it. Whatever you want today, Allah will grant it, guaranteed. Immediately they stop in their tracks. We are going to ask for water to be channeled to our fields. We'll get a little bit of vegetation. And just now we're going to die. What benefit is going to be to us? Here, we've got a different reception, different opportunity. Ask for whatever you want. Let us ask for our akhirat. Let us ask for our akhirat. Man ahabba dunyahu adarra bi akhiratihi. My Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam said, the one who will make, who will love his dunya. The one who will make this world his target, he will harm his akhirat. وَمَنْ أَحَبَّ أَخِرَتَهُ أَذَرَّ بِدُنْيَا. And the one who loves his akhirat will harm his dunya. فَآثِرُ مَا يَبْقَى عَلَى مَا يَفْنَى. He said, oh my ummah, give preference to that which will remain forever and ever over that which is coming to an end. إِذَا أَصْبَحْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الْمَسَاءَ وَإِذَا أَمْسَيْتَ فَلَا تَنْتَذِرِ الصَّبَاحَ. He said, if you get up this morning, don't expect to live till tonight. If you get up tonight, don't expect to live till the morning. This life is temporary. A chor dene wali jahan. Ansar heard this. They said, Ya Rasulullah, make dua for our maghfirat. Make dua. What does maghfirat mean? Jannat. Make dua for our jannat. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam raised his hands. Allahumma ghfir lil ansar. Wali abnai al ansar. Wali abnai al ansar. Wali jirani al ansar. Wali mawali al-ansar. Look at the shan of my Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. He doesn't just say, oh Allah, forgive the Ansar. Oh Allah, forgive the Ansar. Forgive the children of the Ansar. Forgive the children of the children of the Ansar. Forgive the neighbors of the Ansar. Ya Allah, those who are freed slaves and not the family of the Ansar but have been attached to the Ansar, forgive them also. Five different groups, Jannat became wajib on this one dua. But these type of incidents make tarjumani, they relate to us. They translate for us. They make it almost, they give us a physical manifestation of the mindset and the mizaj and the temperament which Allah's Rasulullah established in Madinah Munawwarah. Coming back to what you were saying, Abdullah bin Mas'ud radiallahu ta'ala anhu, the thermometer was given. He said, search your hearts on three occasions. In the Sima'il Quran, when Quran is read. Wa fi majalisi dhikr, in the gatherings of Allah's remembrance. Wa fi awqatil khalwa. And he said, when you are alone, when you are in solitude, search this heart. In the dead of night, when you are alone. One jamaat met one person. 1 year later they met him again. This man was full sunnah. His whole life had changed. And he hugged the person from the jamaat. This man didn't even recognize him. He says, I don't even know who you are. He says, your jamaat came to me in Gush last year. You remember you came to a certain person's shop. I was standing on a ladder and I was fixing one light. I said, this musibat tabligh jamaat came. I didn't have any time for you. I was too busy fixing my light. He says, you entered my shop, you saw me fixing the light and you just said one sentence. And you went away. You didn't even see my face, I saw you. So he says, what did I say? He says, you looked at me and you asked me, what about the light in your grave? What about the light in your grave? He says, you sent this and you went away. And as I was fixing that light, I started thinking to myself. Every night when the light is switched off and it is dark and I'm alone, isn't that day coming in that qabr when I'm going to be alone? When it will be total solitude and the only comfort I will have is my amal, when the Quran will be at the head and the salah at the feet and the sadaqah and charity on either side. That is the time, that is the time. The total complete solitude, what preparation did I make for that time? Fi awqatil khalwa, in the moments you are alone, do you use that solitude to plan Allah's disobedience? Or in that solitude, does your heart turn towards Allah? Does the shock of Jannat come? Does the khawf of Jahannam come? Abdullah bin Mas'ud said, search your hearts on three occasions. فَإِن لَمْ تَجِدْ قَلْبَكَ فِي هَذِهِ الْمَوَاطِنِ الثَّلَاثِ فَسَلِ اللَّهَ تَعَالَىٰ أَنْ يَمُنَّ عَلَيْكَ بِالْقَلْبِ فَإِنَّهُ لَا قَلْبَ لَكَ. He says, if your heart does not turn to Allah on these three occasions, if your heart does not turn to Allah on these three occasions, then ask Allah to give you a heart because you have no heart. فَإِنَّهُ لَا قَلْبَ لَكَ. Your heart is dead. Your heart is dead, and something that is dead should be underneath the ground. If it stays above the ground, it will rot, and the filth and the stench that comes from it will affect and disease everything around it. this call, this cry, that our elders are making, link and attach yourself with the masjid. Link and attach yourself with the environment of Iman. Link and attach yourself with the Mubarak effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Establish the halqa of ta'lim in your masjid. Establish it in your home. Give daily time to the effort of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. This is not for someone else, my respected. This is our need. This is the water. This is the lifeblood. This is that currency which will benefit us on the day when there will be no other currency. So for that, my respected brothers, our elders are saying, first step, if we haven't given 4 months in the path of Allah, to change the direction for us to realize, first step is we give four months in the path of Allah. Who is ready, inshallah? Those that haven't been, those that haven't been, let us make intention. The standing up, before anybody stands up or gives intention, understand, my respected brothers, the standing up is not a promise. Like sometimes somebody says, you know what, I won't give my name, I don't want to make myself gunegar. Ask him, how are you becoming gunegar by giving your name? So he says, no, I don't want to be a liar. The standing up is not a commitment, nor is it a promise. The standing up is dua, it is iltija, we are asking Allah, just standing up to say, Allah, you accept me. The standing up is dua, Ya Allah, accept me, because without Allah's acceptance, wallah, you cannot take one step. So who is ready to stand up and make dua to Allah, that Ya Allah, you accept me to go 4 months? Those that haven't been, we want those brothers to stand up and make niyat, inshallah. Come, my respected, who's ready, mashallah? No shad, mashallah. Allah accept. MashaAllah, taqabbal Allah, barak. Then uncle is staying along. Those that have been 4 months can make me at 4 months every year, inshallah.
MashaAllah, Allah accept, taqabbal Allah, barakallah. Allah is the one that does, but we can't do. We ask from Allah sincerely, Allah will open the way. Last tashkil we are making, this we want the brothers to think about. Those brothers, it's in the heart to go for 4 months, we haven't been before. Haven't been for 40 days also. In the heart to go for 4 months, but at least let us make this intention that as a first step, the brother this morning from the area requested that if even a 10-day jamaat can be made of new brothers, even a 10-day jamaat can be made, those that haven't been out before, even if it is to South Africa or foreign country, wherever. We want the brothers to make niyat, inshallah. September, there's Ijtima taking place in Durban also, 24th to the 26th of September. So it'll be very good if a jamaat of 10 brothers from Mauritius, new brothers, one or two zimmedars with them also, can try and come to attend this Ijtima and spend 10 days in Durban. So all of us will try and do this, inshallah. Say inshallah. The brothers Osman and other zimmedar brothers in the masjid, inshallah, during the course of the day, we can approach them and give our names, inshallah. That one is, we said, inshallah, let's take the next step over and above the inshallah. They say with dua there must be dawa also. One person came by the Maulana, make dua, Allah give me children. Allah give, 10 years he's asking. Maulana, make dua, Allah give me children. One day the Maulana asked him, are you married, bhai? He says, no. He says, Pagal, what's wrong with you? Get married first, then say. So with the dua, there must be a little bit of dawa. So the first step, inshallah, is we contact one of the local brothers, give our names, inshallah. And then we work towards it. We're not asking for tomorrow. September is still some time away. We'll try and do this, inshallah. Jamaat is here for the rest of the day also. After Asr, there'll be program. After Maghrib, after Isha also, there is Umumi program. Also, mulaqats. We want to meet the people of the area. Sunday is a day you're not going to get the people that you get the other days. So this humble appeal is making that who of us, inshallah, from the local brothers, raise our hands from Asr till Isha will give with the Jamaat. Who's ready, inshallah? Raise our hands, mashallah. Very few hands have raised. What about the rest of the brothers? All of us will try, inshallah. Like your story.
بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين اللهم لك الحمد كما أنت أهل فصل وسلم على سيدنا محمد كما أنت أهل وفعل بنا ما أنت أهل فإنك أهل التقوى وأهل المغفرة اللهم إنا على ذكرك وشكرك وحسن عبادتك ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار اللهم إنا ندعوك الله وندعوك الرحمن وندعوك البر الرحيم وندعوك بأسمائك الحسنى كلها ما علمنا منه وما لم نعلم أن تغفر لنا وترحمنا لا إله إلا أنت سبحانك إنا كنا من الظالمين ربنا ظلمنا أنفسنا وإن لم تغفر لنا وترحمنا لنكونن من الخاسرين إن مغفرتك أوسع من ذنوبنا ورحمتك أرجع عندنا من أعمالنا يا غفار الذنوب يا ستار العيوب اغفر لنا ولجميع أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم ارحم أمة حبيبك صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم تجاوز عن سيئات أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم أصلح أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم اهد أمة محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم افتح أبواب الهداية اللهم أخرج الناس من الظلمات إلى النور وجنبهم الفواحش ما ظهر منها وما بطن يا رب العالمين اللهم اجعلنا هداة مهتدين غير ضالين ولا مضلين اللهم استخدمنا لخدمة دينك بالإخلاص والاستقامة والعافية يا رب العالمين اللهم خذ بناصيتنا للبر والتقوى وعزنا من شر الشيطان وشركه يا قوي يا عزيز اللهم أخرجنا في سبيلك في مشارق الأرض ومغاربها لإعلاء كلمتك ولنشر دينك عاجلا غير آجل يا قوي يا عزيز اللهم اشف وعاف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف وعاف مرضانا ومرضى المسلمين اللهم اشف مرضانا وارحم موتانا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه سيدنا ومطعنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين الحمد